Let's get to everything else, though, in the NFL, besides what we just started the show discussing. Some of the other takeaways from the NFL Week 1. I think for me, I just want to know if this was a Week 1 thing, or is this one of those 4 or 5 year cycles now in the NFL where we're starting to see the defenses fully catch up in the league? And we started to see a little glimpse of this last year. But I'm referencing in Week 1, you guys know only two quarterbacks threw for over 300 yards. Normally, that's become like
the average is like 205 yards.
There's a lot of quarterbacks that threw for like a buck 70 to 210. Only two quarterbacks, including Tua and Matthew Stafford, threw for over 300 yards. Only 33 passing touchdowns in Week 1. The lowest of the last 6 years.
By a mile, yeah. By the way. The second lowest was 54. So unless each quarterback throws 10 touchdowns tonight in the Jets 49ers game, it'll be the lowest there in a while. You're saying it's defenses catching up. Is there a chance it is the infusion of mobile quarterbacks in the NFL?
There's
Think about all the guys who have been taken dual threat quarterbacks over the last 3 years taken in the NFL draft. Jaden Daniels this year, Drake May not so much, Caleb Williams for sure. Mahomes falls into that camp a little. He's not really a dual threat, but does run.
And he was, what, 7 yards away from 300? Something like
yeah,
that.
7 yards away from 300. So he was in the range. But it's like Bryce Young, you know, Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, Bryce all these Young guys was, are supposed to have some mobility.
I mean, we all want Bryce Young wasn't throwing for 300. I don't care what
he
was going on.
He may never throw for 300 in his life.
Bryce,
I don't know.
Bryce Young was not throwing for 300 in any game with the way the Carolina Panthers look like. They're going to be horrific all season long.
Are teams going to just start playing them in preseason finally? Like, that's the question. Is that the adjustment? Do you want these guys actually playing football before they have to play football?
I think for some teams and some quarterbacks, it matters more than others. And Andy's old school, so we know he's going to play guys in preseason. He's going to have a tough training camp. A lot of coaches have just completely backed off. And so, as I've said, it's Week 1, but I'll be keeping an eye on this over the next couple of weeks just to see. Do I think we're only going to have two passers over 300 every single week? No, but is this going to be the trend more often than not? We're only going to have a handful of quarterbacks. I guess time will tell. There wasn't a ton of great performances yesterday by quarterbacks, period. And there's a lot of sloppiness out there. And that's where tons. I do think it's Week 1 and teams that didn't play in the preseason, the defenses are ahead of the offenses perhaps here in the first week or so.
I think that must be some part of what's taking place here. But that also, to me, is if Andy's one of the few teams who managed to get to 27 points and almost get 300 yards, why wouldn't you at some point make the adjustment and become a passing or become a preseason offense similar to that is what they have consistently done. And I just don't understand why other teams haven't decided to make that transition gold if what you're talking about is the case, which is fairly simple. Like, we don't have enough people who are consistently playing good the first couple weeks. Not just Cincinnati, right, who looked bad yesterday. It was everybody who looked bad yesterday. And I think, and not everybody, but this was one of those Sundays where I looked back and I was like, boy, it was nice to be a Chiefs fan today because everyone looked incredibly mediocre. You weren't like looking at any team and be like, oh no, because the only team who looked good was the Saints. And I'm not going to like get away from that. My biggest takeaway is that the AFC South is going to be a fight. I am not confident the Texans are going to walk away with that one because they let the Colts hang for a big chunk of that game. They look dangerous. I thought Jacksonville let one get away. ETN just doesn't fumble at the goal line. Then they beat Miami, so they let one slip. The Colts are tough. I think across the board, they are I just think the AFC South is going to end up being the most competitive division in football. Maybe we'll see. The NFC South maybe tell us a little bit of a story based on how the Rams looked last night. But still, I think that there's going to be in for a fight. The Colts, the Jags, the Texans, that's just a lot of good teams.
Yeah, the Titans did show us, though, that the offseason acquisitions and everything, doesn't matter when Will Levis is your quarterback.
Boy, they had it.
They should have beat Chicago. They were pathetic.
Did you see that photo?
Yeah, that play was hilarious.
Did you see that photo after he threw the pick six?
Defensive touchdowns. It was a mess. They had no business losing that game, and Chicago stole that. It's credit to their defense and special teams, but we're going to talk about Caleb Williams. It wasn't like it was the offense of the Chicago Bears that beat Tennessee. You know where I'm at on the Colts. I view them pretty highly heading into the season. They had a chance to win. Anthony Richardson looked really, really good. And so I think even in a loss, the Colts are probably feeling way more optimistic. Like, not every loss is the same, right?
Richardson made one absolutely bonkers throw.
Like, if you're the Colts, you lose to a really good team in the Texans and your quarterback play that way, you're still feeling pretty good about what the rest of the season versus other teams you lost and you had no reason to be optimistic. The Colts, you still walk away. It's the NFL. There's no moral victories. But if you had questions about Anthony Richardson, I think you got some of them answered yesterday and what they have down the field. They got to get a little more out of Jonathan Taylor in their running game. But yeah, the AFC South will be competitive again. The Jags, though, can they get going early on in the season? Yeah, they lost a tough one they should have had, but they made a lot of mistakes last year. ETN and Trevor Lawrence. That was kind of the story much of a year ago.
That's a Doug Peterson problem. They'll tell themselves that, by the way, here in about a year. You can't take the number one overall pick in Trevor Lawrence, everyone tell you he's God gifts to quarterbacking, and still have NFL evaluators talk about him like he's a top five talent in the league at quarterback and never get anything out of it. Because if you just end up as a 9-8 win team again, or 10-7 in a first round exit in the play, whatever, if you end up being that multiple years in a row, you'll be out on your ass sooner rather than later, which is what happened, of course, to the Eagles.
My take is going to be, or the big takeaway, there's a couple of them, to the point of everybody struggling. Deshaun Watson, I think we already kind of knew, was going to probably struggle anyways.
Oh, man.
Did not look good. I think
he's the worst quarterback in the league.
I know that you're paying him, but you need to look to go to Jameis at this rate, because and it's not even about the money anymore. Yes, you don't want to eat the money and just get rid of him, I don't think, because it doesn't.
No, you should.
I think you should too, but I don't think it matters that much this year. You're wasting the prime of Myles Garrett and Nick Chubb and the other guys that they have on defense. They're wasting the prime, because Speck tweeted it yesterday. It's crazy. It could only happen to the Browns, but Baker Mayfield, if you put him on this team, the Browns are a legitimate Super Bowl contender, probably. I mean, they're that good from a roster perspective. I think Jameis gives them a better chance to win, and they don't need to waste the prime of Myles Garrett anymore.
I know what it says. I understand fundamentally there is no easy way to swallow these numbers. If you were to just cut Deshaun Watson at the end of this year, you would owe him in dead cap $172 million. If you cut him the year after that, you would owe him $99 million in dead cap hit, and he'd still have a $26 million dead cap hit in 2027. I understand that fundamentally, no team should ever absorb a contract of that size under any circumstance. This is the one exception. He is so bad, you have no chance to win with him. You have a better chance to win paying this man $200 million and starting Jameis Winston. He is, by contract, he's the worst starter in the league, no doubt. But I'm not kidding. This is not like hyperbole. I'm not just saying this for a radio point. If you made me today choose a quarterback to start for the Chiefs the rest of the season, I would choose Daniel Jones over him. I would choose to start Daniel freaking Jones over Deshaun Watson right now if you made me for the Chiefs the rest of the season. I don't think there's a single quarterback I would choose. Maybe Deshaun over Bryce Young. Maybe. I think about it, because I'd still say Andy Reid upside young quarterback. Maybe.
Well, I think the thing that's telling too is that Jameis Winston is giving the pep talk to every. Jameis Winston is the guy that's getting everybody fired up, and he's the backup quarterback. Deshaun Watson, he brings nothing to the table.
He's so bad, and it's not. I mean, it's not even close. And because of the financials, that they're not going to just bench him for Jameis Winston. If you're a Browns fan, you almost hope for a fluky injury again to Deshaun Watson. As terrible as that is to say about somebody getting hurt, we know last year when they brought Joe Flacco in off the couch, they were so much better. But this is a Browns organization that makes plenty of mistakes in their history, and none worse than the fully guaranteed contract. I'll remind you too, fully guaranteed, and it also has the clause in there that even if you were to somehow get suspended for something else again, it does not void the guarantees. Like, there is no saving grace. Like,
there's no way in which you do not pay Deshaun Watson his money.
He is getting every cent.
It is by far the worst trade that will ever happen in the history of sports. It's not even the NFL. It's in sports.
It is. You're right. Because not only did the Texans get the pick that eventually led to C.J. Stroud, a far superior quarterback, they freed themselves of having to pay a quarterback for some time. It's one of the most lopsided trades I've ever seen and will ever see. It was made worse because of that contract. He is comically bad. It's hard to explain how bad he is.
Karma is a you-know-what, and there's not a better example of that than what's going on in Deshaun Watson's career. I know you can say he's still getting his money. Sure. Sure, but things are pretty miserable there if you're a Cleveland fan, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'd say so.